Dino Zuccolo is with us. He is a director of Westbrook Alternative Asset Management, head of product development and distribution at the company. And we like checking in with him from time to time to find out what's going on with the debt markets in particular. Many BizNews tribe members have invested in these very innovative products that Westbrook have. Because, not surprisingly, they yield 9% plus in British pounds. As a South African in a relatively weak currency, to get that kind of hard currency input is, you don't find it every day. But we'll find out in a little more detail how it works and what's happening with the latest fundraising issue. Because obviously, if they're taking in the money, they've got to put it somewhere. We'll find out more about that in a moment. Dino, before we start, I love the pic behind you. It looks well, a bit like the universe, but certainly very artistic.
Hi, Alec, and hello to everyone watching today. It's always a pleasure to be here. This is the galaxy, I think. So Westbrook is all about predictable, sustainable compounding of client wealth. You know, they often say that compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. And we've sort of built our business around the power of compounding. And, you know, I think many people don't understand the mathematical phenomenon that is compounding, that concept of if you invest in something for long enough, 80% of your return is made right at the back end in 20% of the time. And Fibonacci is a naturally occurring phenomenon, which is a natural manifestation of predictable, sustainable, orderly growth. And there's no better natural manifestation of Fibonacci than in the galaxy. So hence the CI for the business.
Yeah, the universe teaches us so much. It's all mathematics at the end of the day. And that eighth wonder of the world, as you say, the power of compounding. How long does it take for 9%, I'm putting you on the spot here, but for these debt products that we're going to talk about in a moment, can you give us some indication of you're getting 9% a year? How many years might it take before you double your money? Now, remember, we're talking about pounds, not in rands. I guess if you take it in rands, it'd be a heck of a lot quicker, given the way that our currency is going.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the simple maths is that if you were to compound something, or if you were to take simple maths and multiply, call it for the ease of mathematics, a 10% return, it would take you 10 years in order to double your money. But the beautiful thing about compounding is that because each year you're compounding the bigger numbers, so if you invest 100, it grows at 10, it becomes 110. Then the next year, the 110 grows at 10%, so your return is 11, not 10. And so you go and go. That would mean that because of just the naturally occurring phenomenon of compounding, your doubling would happen probably closer to 7 years. 6-7 years would be my estimate, maybe somewhere between 6 and 8. And the most important thing, Alec, about compounding is that you cannot lose money at any point in the cycle, because if you lose, you break the compounding effect and you effectively go back to the beginning. So the one thing about compounding is it takes a long time. And if you ever get it wrong, you go back and then, you know, you might be 20 years or 10 years down the line, it's too late to begin. And that's why I think a lot of people fail to achieve serious wealth in their lives, is because many only begin to meaningfully save in their 50s and 60s, at which point it is a bit late to capture the effect of compounding. And that really is what Westbrook's about, and specifically Westbrook Yield Plus, Alec, is, you know, we're looking to give clients a return that is in excess of what you can get elsewhere, but we are using the effect of compounding as the primary attraction. And for me, that means that if you want to do that, you've got to have capital preservation as the focus. And what that effectively means is that you cannot lose money at any point in that cycle. And so you've got to future-proof your investments and your portfolios such that to the extent that you ever do have an issue, that issue does not negate or get in the way of the power of compounding.
Warren Buffett is golden rule number one, don't lose money. Golden rule number two, don't forget golden rule number one. And that's exactly the point that you're making there. Dino, let's talk about the product itself, the Yield Plus product. We have touched on this in previous interviews. it is a way that it's almost like, I mean, the way I understand it, and help me out here, it's like you're in providing, as an investor, you're providing funds to a non-bank bank. So in other words, to an organization that then lends out money to those who want to borrow money from it. The risk, of course, is that Westbrook, being the people who lend out the money, lend it out to the wrong people to start with, i.e. they don't repay it, or get too exposed to an individual. So just let's unpack that, because the first part of it is, who do you lend money to? Who do you lend my money to that I'm going to invest with you? And then secondly, how do you make sure that the person that my money goes to doesn't wipe it all out and kill that whole the beautiful idea of compounding?
So I don't know if I've ever described it this way, Alec, but I think the easiest way to understand it is to look at a bank. So what does a bank do? A bank raises money predominantly from deposit holders, and it pays them interest on their bank accounts, but they pay a very low interest rate, generally in which is less than what the prevailing cash rate is in that market. Then on the back end, what a bank does is it goes and it makes loans to different people at much higher rates, and the bank collects the delta between the two for its own benefit. Really, all that a private credit fund is we do the same thing on the back end. So we make loans to, in this instance, real estate sponsors. But instead of giving our deposit holders, which we call investors or shareholders, the lower return that a bank would give, we charge a management fee on the return from those loans. And then everything else that is left is the return that the client gets. So effectively, we are what they refer to as a non-bank lender. Now, specifically in the UK, non-bank lending became extremely popular post-2008 global financial crisis, because what happened after GFC was a whole plethora of legislation called Basel that made implementing credit in the UK extremely expensive. And so the banks pulled back and they said, look, we want to do bigger loans. We want to do loans that are out for a longer duration, and we don't like to deal with complexity, because the costs to go through all of our internal processes are very expensive. And that opened this market called private debt, which is really what Westbrook Gilt Plus is. Westbrook Gilt Plus is a fund that lends to businesses that ordinarily would be obtaining bank debt. So it's not loans to the types of entities that banks don't want to lend to. It's loans to the types of entities that, for whatever reason, speed, complexity, size, banks can't lend to. And ultimately, what we're doing in Westbrook Gilt Plus is we're generally lending to a property. So there's a whole host of owners of real estate in and around the UK who need funding for that property. Now, in the UK, for loans of less than £20 million, because of what I've just explained, the banks are not very active. And so there is a gap in that market for someone to go in and fill the delta. And the beauty, because of the fact that the gap in the market is so substantial, you're able to charge higher returns or rates than the level of risk you need to take. And so that's what Yield Plus does in a nutshell, Alec, is it provides loans against property in the UK on similar terms to what a bank would, where there's some element of complexity or you need to move faster in giving an answer to your borrower, or it's a small amount. But ultimately, your security is a bond over a property in and around central London, which we think is extremely high quality security. And to answer your second question, that's predominantly how investors are protected. They've got a bond over a property where, for every £100 of property that we lend against, on average, we've got 57 of debt. So there's an equity buffer of 43 against it. And the portfolio that you invest into is very diversified. So as at the end of June, it had 53 loans in the underlying portfolio. And as a result, that's allowed us a 6.5-year track record in the fund without ever having had a down month.
And how big is the fund now?
So the fund is about £175 million. That fund has got probably over 1,000 investors in it now. And I think one of the elements that I'm really proud of is the diversification of that base. So within that base sit family offices, the very big wealthy names in South Africa that many of the viewers today would know. Then there are about 80 wealth management businesses at Westbrook who actively allocate their clients into the fund. And then thirdly, also some institutions, which has been pleasing to see that we've now gone through institutional grade due diligences in this offering, And we've had their support increase over the years.
Do you know, let's just look at those two major issues for South African investors. The one is exchange control. The second one is, what is the minimum amount to invest in the Yield Plus product?
So I'll start with the easy one. The minimum amount, Alec, is £100,000 for a direct investor. So there's two ways you can invest. You can invest directly in the fund. Fund is domiciled in Jersey, which makes it nicely tax efficient. So you pay on the returns either capital gains tax or dividends tax as opposed to interest income. So your tax effect is quite a bit lower at 18 or 20 as opposed to 45. Because you're investing in Jersey in a very tax efficient structure. The one implication, I suppose, of investing in Jersey is that you have to use externalized funds in pounds or in dollars in order to invest. If you don't have externalized funds, there's a variety of options. The first is you can take the capital offshore yourself, but of course you can only get 1 million rand offshore using your what they call discretionary allowance. If you want to get the other 10 million out, you've got to go to SARS and put in place an ExCon application. The other way of doing it, and this is something I'd recommend to anyone who'd like to get access to the fund but that doesn't have externalized cash, is to contact your wealth advisor, because your wealth advisor generally has what they refer to as asset swap capacity through the variety of providers that they use. And what that effectively allows you to do is you can invest with your wealth manager in rands, and then in the background, they swap rands for you into pounds and invest into the offering. So you'll still receive a rand return, and your money will come back to you at the end of the day in rands. But the benefit, of course, is that you've externalized your capital from a risk perspective. And in that instance, you benefit from two things, not just the 9% net yield in the fund, but also, of course, the depreciation, whatever it might be, between the rand and the pound exchange rate.
So you work through your financial advisor. In other words, they would then get hold of Westbrook, and that would go through in that way. It would be your million rand. They would presumably put others together with their million rands to get to the £100,000 minimum. What about for, because we do have a lot of our tribe based in the UK or based offshore. What if they wanted to invest? Can they get hold of you? Can they put less, a smaller amount than £100,000 with you?
So the 100,000 is generally the threshold. Your point's completely correct. If you come through a wealth advisor, most of them drop the minimums to 25,000 because they aggregate clients at the top and then give us the minimum directly. If you're overseas, if you're in the UK, no problem. We do have a variety of investors domiciled in the UK, and you're more than welcome to get hold of us. It's much easier for you to invest directly in the pound and, you know, in the GBP that you've got. There are one or two small nuances on the tax for people who are domiciled in the UK, but I think that's something we can take offline and discuss with anyone who's interested.
Right. So it is, you can have that individual type conversation, but the most important thing is, how safe is my money that I'm going to give you to give me the 9% a year back?
Yeah, it's the right question to ask. So, Alec, the fund has been around for 6.5 years. It's got 53 loans in the portfolio. And as I mentioned earlier, for every £57 of debt that we've written in the fund, there's £100 of security. So what we like about it is that it's extremely well diversified. And I think the most important tenet for me, Alec, is that the security is a property generally in and around the UK, and most of them are close to central London. So the thesis of the fund is that even if you've got some form of a credit event where your borrower defaults, you have tangible hard asset security in one of the most popular and liquid real estate markets in the world that underpins your value. So I believe that the fund is very well secured. And this in alternatives, Alec, to take a step back, is probably the most important thing for any listener to understand, is that the returns may well seem appealing when you look at an investment product. But the most important thing to do is to get into the nature of the underlying risk and security. So in our instance, we're a UK pure play offering. We don't do developments because we think developments are too risky. We don't buy land because land is obviously a poor form of security. And generally, the security that we prefer to take is an asset that's got a tangible value where we can understand exactly what our security is. The fund's got a 6.5-year track record of never having had a down month. So I refer to Yield Plus as, I call it the sleep at night fund. This is not the fund that's going to shoot the lights out. And this is the fund where, unashamedly, Alec, we're delivering you know, so far for the year, about 9%. But it is the fund where I would much rather come to my investors in a year or two's time and say, Alec, you know what? We delivered 7% net in sterling this year. For whatever reason, there was economic difficulty in the UK. There was a loan that had a drama and there was an issue that we had to work out. But you know what? You still had a positive year and you made a 7% return. Then to come to the investors in years to come and say, you know what, Alec, we tried our best to get you a 15% return, but actually we messed it up and we lost you money. And so I think for an investor who's looking for a safe place to put their capital that has a different return profile to what you find in the traditional markets, and that's the other big benefit of this offering. And I actually surveyed my investor base the other day and I asked them, what is the primary reason you invest in Westbrook Yield Plus? And intuitively, I thought that the answer would be because the yield is so much higher in Yield Plus than what you can get in bonds, cash, and fixed income. But actually, the most popular answer was the diversification of returns, the lack of correlation to the traditional markets, and the lack of volatility. And so I think that's actually what the investor is really looking for here, is a diversifier in their portfolio, because at the moment, the listed markets are all tending to move kind of in the same direction for a variety of reasons.
What about emergencies? If you do have an issue and you need the money quickly, if it's in Yield Plus, is it tied up?
It's a very good question. So historically, when you invested in Yield Plus, there was what we called a lock-in period. So there was a period for which you couldn't give us notice that you wanted your money back. We've changed that slightly recently to try and make the offering a little bit more appealing to investors. So now if you invest, there is no lock-in period, but there is still what we call a notice period. And the notice period means that in the instance of Yield Plus, you have to give a minimum of 6 months' notice in order to get your money out for the periods ended either June or December each year. And so I think that's a really important thing for the listeners to understand, is that this should not be used as a treasury management strategy where you're parking cash for a short period of time that you intend to use for something else. This, for me, should be seen as a diversify in the portfolio where you would ordinarily have gone into a bond or fixed income or a fixed deposit or something like that. This is kind of like a six-month fixed deposit, but obviously, you know, in the UK, I think a six-month fixed deposit is probably getting you somewhere around 5% return. This is higher, closer to 9%. And then there's the tax benefit, which on an after-tax basis makes it even more significant from a spread perspective.
Explain that, the tax benefit.
So if you were to earn 5% as South African, so and just to be clear, we don't provide tax advice, so I'm going to give you general principles here that may or may not apply to each investor's circumstances. But if Dino from Johannesburg invests in a fixed deposit in the UK, I earn 5%, but then I include that in my income as interest. And so what would happen if you're in the highest marginal tax rate is you'd pay 45% tax on that. And so you'd get a little over 2.5% as a net after-tax return in that type of an investment. In Yield Plus, as I mentioned earlier, you're either going to pay a 20% withholding tax, or not withholding tax, but dividends tax on an offshore distribution coming into you. Or if you're in an accumulation class, you're going to pay capital gains tax, but both of them, I'll call it roughly at 20%. And so you receive 9% from us, you pay 20% tax, and so you roughly at call it 7% return net in my hands after tax. And so 2+7 or 2.5+7 on an after-tax basis, I think that's a pretty substantial spread of almost 3 times your return.
Okay, so now we've unpacked all the details, and I'm sure there's always more questions, but I'm sure for most people they understand exactly what they'd be getting into. But what about the UK itself? Since we last spoke in June, lots has happened. There's been an election, there's been a new government. How are things developing in that country?
Yeah, so Alec, I think we spend a lot of time with our transaction team on the ground, and it's an important point. We've got 14 individuals whose only job it is in the UK to invest. And so they are on the ground, they're plugged into the market. We're not sitting in Johannesburg pretending to be experts on the UK market. I think the view there is that the election was a fait accompli. You know, the UK knew that it was going to have a change in regime, and so it was largely priced into the market. We have seen earlier this month the first interest rate cut in the UK. So the Bank of England base rate was recently reduced from 5.25% to 5%, which should begin to stimulate the economy a little bit. But I think the important point, Alec, is because of the positioning of Westbrook Yield Plus, there's 53 loans in a giant market. I mean, we often say we're playing in a small, small niche of the UK market that just happens to be a multi-billion pound niche. The impact on us is less severe in relation to what's going on in the macro, because we are playing much more in the micro, and it's the advantage of alternatives. Interest rates move, the macroeconomic environment changes. You're really betting here on the investment expertise of the Westbrook team to ensure that we write good loans. Often what we actually find, Alec, find is in a tough market, it's better for us. And we often say that we perform better in a bear market than in a bull market, because in a bull market, we get outbid a lot. We're not the cheapest borrower in the world, as you can see from the returns. And so when there's capital flowing freely in a market, we often get outbid by somebody else. In a slightly more difficult market, the borrower comes back to us and has a conversation and is willing to move a little bit more on pricing. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot still in the UK market, is that there are elements of the market under pressure. There are lenders under pressure. There's still a little bit of an overhang from COVID and what's happened over the previous few years. Interest rates still are high. And so from an origination perspective, we're enjoying a pretty good time in that market. The only other thing that's probably relevant to bring up is that we have recently moved about half of the fund to fixed rate debt. So historically, 80-90% of the fund, and the official hurdle is cash plus 4-6% in sterling, but 80% of the fund floated. So as interest rates moved, the returns moved too. We've moved now half of the fund to fixed rate debt with the view that it is possible in the UK that interest rates continue to come down. And the nice thing with that is that if interest rates do continue to come down, the investor will benefit from that locked-in debt for a period of time. And so there's a little bit of a clever arbitrage to be had in the fund at the moment as well.
Dino Zoccolo is a director with Westbrook Alternative Asset Management. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.